Well, welcome everybody.
Welcome.
Hope you are enjoying Valiant Hearts. I know I am.
Very valiant.
Yep. Good pick. Yeah, it's great.
Good pick, Chris.
Yes.
Yes. Very well chosen.
Yes, I agree. I'm actually kind of kicking myself for hating the game originally.
You should. But
me too.
I should. Yeah. Shame on me.
Yeah. Did one of you said you played it before, right? Yeah.
I did. I played. I must have played. I only played a little bit of it. I got up into like the first time you play as Freddy, and then I was like, "No, I can't do this right now."
Oh.
And then, of course, when it was chosen for game chat, I was like, "Ah, here we go."
He was like, "No."
I was like, Chris Bark, you hate me.
I mean, yes, but that's not why I chose the game.
But
shots fired,
yeah. So anyway, well, let me get into it. Just, you know, without getting into too much detail, what do you guys think, you know, just in general, mechanics, controls, graphics, that kind of thing?
I have to say that my perception of this game when I first saw it was completely not what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was... From the trailer that I saw and everything, it sounded like it was one of those turn-based RPG type of things. And I was like, well, I have the free game on PSN, so I'll grab it and maybe someday I'll play it. But I have not been able to put this game down since I started playing it.
Yeah, you're cheating, right? Playing ahead?
Yes, I can't stop.
You can.
No, I can't.
You totally could have. Restraint. Restraint. Yeah.
No. Not with this type of game.
Nope. Yeah. I really like Ubisoft's Child of Light game. And so...
Yeah.
When we started playing this one, I was like, I don't know, you know, the story is not really at my, you know, not my style. The art style is kind of weird. You know, everybody looks like a Muppet.
Which is and then bad.
Not a bad thing, certainly. Then we started playing, and I was like, holy cow, there's people dying everywhere, and super sad, you know, right in the beginning. And then, you know, it's really dynamic, you know, that you can play all these different characters, and they're all connected.
And the dog.
Like, never did I think I would find as much enjoyment being able to run around as an animal. So, you know, at first glance, yeah, it didn't seem like it was going to be up our alley at all, and totally changed my mind. So, the music too is really, really nice.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've been really surprised by is the music is just stellar. Like, just the way they are using it and pairing it up with events is just really very well done.
Yeah.
I like it. I really like that connection, like you mentioned, mixing it up with events, you know, with the diary and then going into what you're doing, you know, like when they're showing that group with the flag.
Yeah.
And then the Middle East connection with those guys and showing pictures too. But just making those connections, playing it, and then relating back to something that shows that there's a real life connection. I really like that it's not just, you know, because there's World War One games, World War Two games out there that are not realistic really at all, or they can be, but you don't know it because. You know, like Call of Duty and all that stuff, that are the Medal of Honor and stuff like that. You know, that's, you're just running around shooting people and you're not thinking about the historical impact of what that really was. Right. And this is not at all like a run and gun shooting game, but yet it's kind of teaching you a little bit. Dang it, stop that.
Yeah. You know? I think, you know, my stepdad's really into like, you know, tanks and war type games and history. And I think that this would be something he would enjoy, you know, which is different. And it really kind of appeals to all types, which I, you know, I thought was pretty neat.
Yeah.
I can see with Chris that at first this game's kind of tough to get adjusted to at first. And it's like, until you, like, get where it's coming from... Then you say, oh, okay, I mean, this is not meant to be a button-mashing, you know, strategy-type stuff. It's just, you know, a nice little pleasant game. And if I was a high school teacher, history teacher, I would make every kid in my class play this game.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I would go to school. Well, let's kind of dig into it a little bit more then. So, right off the bat, you know, we're hit with an emotional family struggle, which is probably something that was all too common back then. I don't know how accurate everything that we're seeing actually is, but it's probably backed up from different journals and things like that. You know, we see, I forget the woman's name, the woman who lives in, what's the wife's name? Does anybody remember Anna or something like that? No, Anna's the medic.
Maria or something?
Something like that. Her husband get deported.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And then her father having to go to war.
Yeah.
How did that feel? Was it too early to kind of connect with them, or was it impactful to you at all?
I was confused at first because, fortunately, my history is not super firm, so I had to kind of stop and I was a little confused who was who in the beginning, and it wasn't until they met in the POW camp that it really started to sink in. Like, oh, okay, they're opposite sides, and help each other.
It's like, oh, this is father-in-law.
Yeah. So it was. I think it was a little too quick for those not really familiar with all the history. Which is, I don't know how they could have changed it, but yeah, I personally felt it was really quick.
Yeah, I mean, I agree too that it felt the. And, it's kind of hard to really build the emotional connection that this family has in just, what was it, like a 2-minute cutscene? It's really hard to portray, like, the loss that Marie is facing when both of them go off to war. And I'm like, yeah, it sucks, but, that's life. And it wasn't until, like, when the husband there got injured, and then you find out that he's in the camp, that it really starts to come together at that point.
I wasn't like that at all. I felt it pretty much immediately. As right off the gate, I was like, oh no, and I was really sad that was happening to that family. So for some reason, I really got connected pretty quickly.
You're a big softy.
I'm a big... Well, yeah.
No, I mean, I proposed that question because it's obvious that people are going to respond differently. I think I fell somewhere in the middle. I mean, I definitely saw what they were trying to do. And, for the sake of time, they have to kind of move things along. And I think that the story does become more, rooted and in depth. So if you were lacking emotion then, you'll probably won't later. Hey, Monzo, just want to welcome you. What's up?
Hey, I didn't play. So I wanted to pop in and say hi. But, hi, friends.
Hey, Monzo, we miss you.
I miss you too. But hopefully I'll get in for the next game.
Yeah.
We're gonna announce which I will find out about later.
Yes.
So you guys have fun.
Thanks for saying hi, man.
Great. Right. And he's gone.
I can't.
Like a magic puff of smoke.
Mom's in a puff. Steph, why don't you bring up the next discussion?
So immediately you can draw conclusions about the style of the game simply by observing the backgrounds and character animations, which I love this style, BTW. How do you feel about the designer's choice of style for this genre and setting? Like with the whole world, with the whole war and, you have people dead all over the place, but it's kind of in this cartoonish style. What do you guys think about that?
The mercy to be done that way. I'm jumping right in. I think that if they had tried to give it a more realistic style, it would have failed, personally. Because it's just so nuanced. The the dialogue and the sounds the characters make, like, you can't really match that up with a more realistic style. And, you know, they can just throw out dead bodies everywhere, and you may or may not notice, and I don't think it, no, it doesn't hurt as much because of the style. So I'm thankful for that.
To me,
yeah, I think it's a good choice. It makes it a lot more palatable. You know, it's very difficult to subject matter, but the style makes it a lot more acceptable and easier to handle.
Yeah, and I feel like the cartooner style almost feels like it's from that period in a way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it to me it feels like it's fitting.
Yeah, it kind of almost took me by. Almost by surprise, like, when I was playing it, because, like, you know, you start the game, and as I said, like, I immediately felt that kind of connection for some reason towards the beginning, you know, right off. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, well, you know, it kind of threw me out, because I was like, oh, well, this game, you know, is kind of cartoony styled, and then, boom, like, there's dead bodies everywhere, and you're thrown into a war, and you're expected to, you know, to go and fight, and I'm like, oh my god! And so, yeah. So it kind of really threw me off, and I think it can kind of serve to do that as well.
I really feel like I'm reading like a children's illustrated history book, or having it being read to me.
Yep.
Even especially the parts where there's a narrator, you know, in the cutscenes there, who jumps in. And,
yeah.
It's interesting because the story is sort of, it's thrown in there, but there's, you know, the chunks of story are during those cutscenes. You know, every three chapters or whatever it is that you go through. So you kind of experience it little by little. I don't know. And again, the drawing is beautiful. So it makes it just brings that whole storybook feel to light.
I like the voices that they give to the NPCs, I guess. I was really, really entertained by the I want to say Middle Eastern. I know that's not necessarily correct.
No, I think it was.
It was like British and Middle Eastern troops. And it just sounded hilarious. I loved it. What part was that? Where you had to throw in some sticks of dynamite?
Yeah, the Indian guys or whatever they were.
I just listened to him for, you know.
Yeah, he was
But, you know, I like how you can subtly tell the differences. I mean, if you're not familiar with the, like, iconography of the German troops versus British or French, you can hear it. And, you know, that's just a really small detail that I thought was really
good. They will occasionally say words, too, which is funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
It almost reminds me of The Sims, the way they talk.
Yeah. So, how do you guys feel about the puzzle mechanic? So, obviously, that's what the game is, sort of puzzle, I guess, action, I'd say. How do you feel the puzzle mechanic blends with the action of what's going on around you?
I really like it. I think it's a good way to not force you to be... feel like you have to react really, really fast, but it still feels like you're in the middle of it. You know, even things where you have to run at the right points, you know, get behind that metal plate,
you know,
throw something, distract someone. The use of things like the bottles and the little bricks to distract soldiers and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, in some ways it's kind of simple, but in another way, I like that because that way you're forced to move around and progress through. I like it a lot. I think it's they're not too annoying, but they feel like, you know, you're doing something. You know, like the dynamite where you have to go get the dynamite, put the pieces back into the gaps, you know, or like the other one where you're moving it back and forth on that crane. You know, it's a puzzle, but it has a function to it, to what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just, you know, oh, you need to flip this switch, and then this one, and then this one, and then spin this dial just because it's there. You know, I think we've all played those games before. So, putting it together with something that makes sense, you know, it works well.
Right.
Yeah, I really started to like it after I got, after you figured out how to interact with everything, especially the dog, realizing that you can send the dog to go do things.
Yeah.
That's when I really started, you know, to enjoy the gameplay and the, you know, once I figured out, you know, how to throw things and where do you, you know, certain things you have to throw a little farther to get it on top of things and stuff like that. Really started to, you know, enjoy it a lot just with that style of gameplay. And I agree with what somebody had said before that, you know, the style of, considering the subject matter, the style that they chose for the, you know, the visual and the gameplay yeah. really helps with the, you know, considering the subject matter. Yeah, World War One, which was really a brutal war.
Yeah.
I think the puzzles do a really good job of adding a sense of urgency at times. Like, it's interesting, because they're not always urgent puzzles. But when they are, it really fits the feeling of the game. I was feeling that a lot, especially with the medic, where you're, you know, yeah. you have the little rhythm puzzles and whatever to try and heal people. And even just, like, trying to find a shovel for someone to use as a crutch or whatever. I just think it's a really creative way of really bringing us into the story.
Motorcycle.
And that's when Chris took off on his cycle.
I'm out.
I always seem to have trouble with the wheels. They never seem to want to turn in the direction I'm trying to turn it.
Oh,
okay. Oh yeah, me too. I have that problem sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, it's always counterclockwise, it seems.
And then yeah, some will go the other way too. So.
Yeah. Well, they have arrows on them, but the problem is like rotating the stick doesn't work smoothly.
Yeah.
It like gets stuck. It needs some like WD-40 on that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't feel that the how to navigate the puzzles was really intuitive. We both were kind of running around for a while thinking, what are we supposed to do here? I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
So, I'm not really a puzzle person, so that's usually when I hand the controller off and say, make it work.
Yep.
But I didn't get to that point with every puzzle, you know, so that's really says a lot to me about the game, where if I can play and not be frustrated the whole time, then it's doing a good job. I feel like some instructions would have been a little bit more helpful.
Well, there's only a... There's the carrier pigeon that delivers hints if you need them.
They're
okay.
By the time I need that hint, I got that.
I know. Tell me about it.
It's like, no, I don't want the first hint. I want that fourth hint.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at.
Dude, I'm not even kidding. There was one time. Yeah, there was one time where I would get hints, and I'm like, I don't need a hint. And then I was so stuck, I was losing my mind. And the freaking pigeon was just like, screw you, dude. I'm not coming to help you.
Where were you stuck at?
It's actually in the next chapter.
Next
segment, I should say. I was going to say, the puzzles, there are a couple where, like, I used a hint because sometimes it's just a matter of, like, you're not, the thing you have to break is it blends so well with the background that you can't tell you're supposed to break it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that definitely happened to me.
Yeah, a little frustrating things like that.
One thing that gave me, like, complete anxiety was digging around the mines to get to things. It drew my anxiety level up to a very high level.
Yeah.
I cannot, I do not want to see him blown up. I do not want to see, and that's one thing that I think, I'll go into it later, but as far as the gameplay goes, I think the gameplay... to me, like, and I kind of thought about this while I was playing it. I was like, you know, it's not that difficult of a game. It's almost like just a point and, you know, I mean, like, there are puzzles and stuff. Yeah. But I mean, as far as the difficulty level, it almost reminds me of, like, a point and click game. But I think that that kind of helps in kind of drawing you towards the story. You know, it kind of helps to make the story, you know, you focus more on the story than on the game, you know, than on this, you know, hard gameplay.
Well, that's a good point.
It kind of helps that it's forgiving, you know. At the first time I died, I'm like, oh, where's me back to? Oh, two seconds. Okay.
Yeah, super forgiving, yeah. So what point in the story has moved you guys the most?
The dog almost dying.
dog in the barbed wire.
Yeah, I was really stressed out.
Super stressed.
Yeah.
I was literally so ready to just turn the game off and call it a day if the dog died.
Man.
Yeah, we had a unanimous, if this happens, we're done.
Yeah.
Wow.
But how satisfying is it after you save the dog, and then now, anytime, and then now you can, like, interact with it, and you pat it on the head, and he's like,
We're the same people that in Life is Strange will just, like, waste some drug dealer without even thinking about it.
But we want that dog to live.
Yeah. Freaking cute little dog. Get out of there.
Yeah, because the dog is actually being helpful.
Yeah, the dog is not going to, you know, do anything stupid. Well, yeah. There's a couple. Go ahead, Franco. I was going to say there's a couple that are, you know, I don't know, just moments where I find the diaries to be pretty impactful. Like, if you read their diaries, that it really gives you insight into what they're thinking, because you don't often know what they're thinking unless you read it.
Right.
And the letters home, and the letters that you find from just, like, you know, the different soldiers that you can assume probably are not with us anymore, but they're writing to their loved ones and things like that. I mean, I don't know this for sure, but I would venture to say that they may have taken some real journal entries or inspired by some things, you know, to make the content of the game
worth looking into. Photographs look...
Some of the photographs, I think, are real. They have cited sources on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they're
just
real.
Been colorized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, at times I found myself saying to myself, you know, with the game pace, seems like you should hurry at times, but then I would get through a scene and I'm like, did I rush through it? Did I miss one of those, you know, items I'm supposed to pick up? Because sometimes they're really hard to see, to recognize that it's an item you need to pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I picked one up accidentally, and it was behind something in the, as far as the stuff on the ground. Like, I just was pushing A at the right moment. It's like, bang, you picked something. It's like, wait, I couldn't have even seen that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I gave up on the collectibles. It just, I mean, it was more annoyance than it was worth.
Yeah.
I still like to try and get them all. But they said there's over, like, 100 collectibles in this game.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, just push A the whole time, I guess.
Yeah, just spam.
Actually, that's what I started doing.
Me too.
Yep.
I was like, okay, I'm going to walk behind something, press A, press A, press A, press A.
Because there are so many times where you'll actually pick something up that way, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, one part that really that really kind of moved me was being in the POW camp. For some reason, that really, I was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, and having to, like, get the food for that, you know.
Stew.
Yeah.
You're talking about as the medic?
No. As, what's the main guy's, the guy?
Emil?
Carl?
Oh, when you're, like, when you get the soup and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the sausage.
Yeah.
Sausage, yeah.
I wanted him to choke on that sausage.
Yeah.
I wanted to throw him at the fire.
Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Go ahead.
I have
something I want to throw out there. So, not only your most emotional moment, maybe, but what has been one of your favorite moments so far? Maybe the most fun, or the most entertaining, or creative?
Well, I posted a screenshot of that moment when you first meet the medic character, and you all, like, jump into the car with her.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was such a cool little character introduction. Like, just really well done as a moment, and it was very exciting. So that was one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, that is true.
I liked the car chase.
Yeah.
Because it was all in sync to the music that was playing.
Yeah.
I love that. That was amazing. Oh. Yeah.
And it takes you a second to realize that the obstacles are actually timed to the music. And then once you realize that, it's just even more enjoyable.
I realized that then it was over. I was like, no!
Yeah, I kind of wanted more.
The game glitched on me, too, on that point.
I could do this all day!
Yeah, I liked that, the car chase scene, the and I really liked the dynamite scene that Michelle was talking about with the guy in the bucket. That was just so funny. I was just cracking up that whole time.
Yeah, and I liked after the, you know, after the screenshot that Chris that Chris posted, I liked the kind of how it went kind of back telling the medic's story. You know, before she got there.
Yep. And she's sort of there for her own agenda too.
Yeah.
You know, she got her own concerns, but she just kind of crossed paths with these clowns.
Why was she locked in that room?
What room?
When you first meet her, when it goes back in time.
Yeah, that was confusing to me as well.
And you have to like shoot the pigeon to get the key.
Shoot, like, oh, throw the thing at the
pigeon. Yeah.
Shoot the pigeon? Or is that the one? Oh!
You have to throw a rock at the pigeon. There.
Yeah.
I think it's just where she lived.
She needed the key to get out, so she was locked in.
I think that was just a game. I don't know if that was a...
Yeah.
It might have been...
Because wasn't she talking to someone first, and then he left through the door, and then she was left alone?
I don't remember.
Or maybe was it her father?
Maybe he locked it. Maybe he locked it because of wasn't it kind of safe,
whatever,
unsafe? So maybe he locked it, to, you know, to keep the people from coming in.
That's probably what I didn't catch that at all. I didn't even pay attention to that. I figured. I just figured it was something I needed to do. I need to get a key so I can get out of my house.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I figured it was just her parent, her family. You guys get hung up on the dumbest things. Relax.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just kidding.
Maybe the pigeon took the key away. Maybe the pigeon took the key.
Blame the pigeon. Let's find the real problem here, guys.
Yeah. So the pigeon is her abusive boyfriend, is what you're saying. That's really... Okay.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Suddenly turning into hateful... What is that? Hateful boyfriend? With
Hateful boyfriend or something, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, that's it.
Tell us to relax and then make us play games like this. It's never going to happen.
No, I'm sorry. That was kind of mean. Even for me. No, so let's see. How do you guys feel the jumping between the characters and the storyline is flowing? Is it cohesive? Does the game allow you to identify with one character more than the other? Do you think they're getting equal amounts of screen time, for want of a better word?
So far, I think the at least up until where I'm at is the seems like the father has gotten the bulk of the screen time.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I'm still trying to flesh out why what's the motivation of the American other than he wants the Baron, but why does he want the Baron?
Yeah,
I was almost going to say why, but I just realized that was a spoiler. So no, I'm not going to say it.
Very good.
You'll find out, don't you know?
Yeah.
You'll
find out, right?
Yeah.
Some of us stop when we're supposed to.
Fired.
Oh, man.
I've actually enjoyed the normally the whole like switching between characters things annoys me in games because I like to have one character to really connect with. But I haven't been annoyed by it in this game. I've actually really enjoyed it because it's let me see more of the world. And it's been really smooth transitions throughout, so I've liked it a lot.
I like it too because it gives you different abilities depending on the character you're playing.
Yes.
Yes. I do think that there's one that has been given not enough screen time, and that is the dog.
Of course.
I think I would like to know more about the dog's past.
I mean, every game we ever review will just say needs more dogs.
Yes.
That's needs just more that. Dogs. True.
There, spoiler alert, he was a puppy.
Really? Wow. That's pretty incredible, Chris.
I know. I thought it was pretty wild.
Yeah, the second I saw the dog, second I saw the dog, I said, Steph is going to love this game.
I love it.
Yeah, I thought the transitions were, you know, just about exactly where they were supposed to be. I mean, we keep going back to the dog and the barbed wire scene, but if that hadn't happened at that exact moment with that switch, you know, if McNeil had just come in and rescued him, it would have completely robbed that scene, you know?
Yeah.
So the switch to another playable character at that exact moment of tension was great.
Yeah.
I really feel that every time after that was just appropriate.
Any other thoughts on that? So how do you guys feel the war theme is depicted in the game? Do you think it's believable among the somewhat whimsical nature of the world and characters? You've already covered this a little bit, I think, but any other thoughts on that topic?
I mean, the Baron is classic cartoon villain.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no way around that, just the way that the guy moves and acts and has the weapons and stuff. But that takes me a little bit out of the time period. But overall, it seems like everything else fits together nicely.
Yeah.
I really like the cartoonish feel a lot, because it fits a lot with, you know, because up until that point, war was a lot more, like, a lot less known was about the horrors of war, I guess.
Yeah.
Was a lot more, I don't know, cool. I'm not using good words to say this, but you know what I'm saying, that it was a lot more, the trench warfare of World War I is what really, as a, you know, global society, helped us to realize war is hell and not a good thing. And, so going into it with this sort of jolly excitement, and then as we see the first battalion charging in and getting mowed down after their celebration, I felt like that fit really well with the theme of, like, it's exciting, but it's also, wow, isn't this awful?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It's interesting that, just to add to that, like, World War I was not photographed very much. Like, they wouldn't air any photographs all during that time of any dead American soldiers. So, you know, I think I know it sounds ridiculous, but it was like 100 million or just an atrocious amount of people died. So, and to be fair, probably a lot of us don't really think about it as much as we should. And so to be confronted with this game that's, you know, kind of relaxes you a little, but still shows you some of that brutality in its own way. It was really, really nice. I mean, nice is not the right word. I appreciated it. Because it kind of brings attention back to that time period, which should be paid attention to. I thought it was a really interesting commentary on that as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes sort of the heaviness out of the subject. And just enough to make, you know, to help you enjoy the game. Well, yeah, enjoy the game. You know, that you're not sitting here, you know, going over the atrocities of, you know, mustard gas and trench warfare and all that, you know, nastiness.
But I like, you know, a lot of those, you know, situations. They had the chlorine gas, they had, you know, just the bombing where you're running and all this stuff happening, but, so it's really interesting to be able to experience that, but not have to go through therapy for it.
Right.
Exactly.
Any other thoughts on that stuff? Cool. Well, I mean, I imagine we're not quite an hour in, but we may be wrapping early, I think, which is okay. I was going to say, Steph can announce our next game, and then I have another announcement that I want to make as well, so.
Well, first off, where do we stop the next time, Chris?
Oh, yeah, good. Thank you for reminding me of that.
You're so welcome.
I know, right? Let me check my notes, and I will tell you. Close that. I don't want to look at that. So, stopping point, part two is, it's into chapter three. You'll see very clearly on the screen it says 5 days earlier at the POW camp, .. Big white screen, you can't miss it.
Oh,
it's about another 2 hours in. What's that?
I'm already past that point.
I'm sure you are.
Oh my gosh. Guys, don't be a Chris. Don't be a Chris.
We're gonna probably go a third week with this game because it is banking in about 6 hour average.
Yeah.
So
just power through.
Just yeah. It's good. I mean it doesn't get like tedious or anything. It's still enjoyable. But just be aware that, you know, we'll probably go an extra week. So
yeah. Okay.
Yep. So yeah. I didn't catch that. What'd you say?
So what's the next game? We're gonna miss it, but I wanna know.
The next game is going to be The Wolf Among Us.
Oh,
nice.
I just put up a trailer.
We want to play this forever. I'm so excited.
I know, me too. yeah, so it's going to be a 5-week game because it is episodic. So,
chose it.
You know, whenever the time comes around, we'll be doing an episode a week. It's available on Steam, PS4, PS3, Xbox One, 360 if you're going old school. I know on Steam it's like $24.99, but I know you can also buy it like, you know, used if you want to on one of the consoles for like $15 to $20 usually. But yeah, so yeah, Wolf Among Us, and I'll just read a quick little synopsis. It's a Telltale game, and it's a gritty, violent, and mature thriller based on the award-winning Fables comic books by DC Comics and Vertigo. As Bigsby Wolf, the big bad wolf, you will discover that a brutal, bloody murder is just a taste of things to come in a game series where your every decision can have enormous consequences. An evolution of Telltale's groundbreaking choice and consequence game mechanics will ensure the player learns that even as Bigsby Wolf, Sheriff of Fable Town, life in the big bad city is bloody, terrifying, and dangerous.
It's, it's $5 for the whole season on the Humble Store for the next 2.25 hours.
Are you serious?
Oh my god. Yes.
Wow, go fast, everyone.
Put a link up here, will you, Chris?
I already did.
Oh yeah, he did.
Oh, there it is.
Wait a minute.
I thought it was the picture. Same exact freaking picture. Pick a different picture, Chris.
I okay, can't so choose I'll... that.
So, and then yes, I'll share that. I'll share that on the Facebook group right after the meeting.
$5.
Yeah.
Holy cow, that's amazing. That's good catch.
Yeah. And 10% of your purchase will go to support Child's Play.
There you go.
Awesome.
So,
Who picked A Wolf Among Us? I have to know.
It was kind of a joint decision.
Yeah, staff decision.
Forever. So thank you, whoever convinced Stephanie that it was a good idea.
It was very easy to convince her.
Here's how the conversation went. Stephanie, I'm okay with you picking the next game. Oh, well, okay, if you have any decisions, let me know. Well, there is The Wolf Among Us. Yes, that one. That's pretty much word for word.
That is word for word.
Hey, Steph, let's play The Wolf Among Us. She would have said, meh, I gotta watch Star Wars still.
Like, she answered it so quickly that I was just like, wait, are you serious?
I'm just gonna start going through you. As they asked Stephanie this. Well, I've played it already, which is a mercy since we won't be able to do game chat. But
yeah, there you go.
We're gonna play it anyways, and
yeah, I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, so we'll, you know, we'll listen to the chat.
Okay.
It's so good.
Who else in here has played it? No one?
Okay.
I played the first chapter. It's really good. It's dark. Just be ready. Really dark.
Yeah. Embrace the darkness.
Not for the faint of heart. But anyways, so I have a quick announcement. That's it, right, Steph? You're good?
That's it. I'm good.
So here's a thing that Steph and I are proposing. We want to try and grow the group a little bit. Not hugely, but we think that more people will be good for expanding the dynamic of discussion and things like that. So we're always looking for new people. So we had an idea. If any of you can recruit at least one other person to join us for 2 full game chats, that means 2 full games. you will be entered into a lottery drawing for a free version of a game that we do. So, I don't know if that's a good incentive. Maybe it's super lame, but it's better than paying for a game. So,
do I get more tickets for more people?
Yeah, so for every person you get,
yes,
that stays for two full games, you get entered in.
Every person. I'm living.
All right. Michelle and Mason can... Yeah, they can count as two people, I suppose, even though they're on the same microphone.
I just need people to...
So that starts with Wolf Among Us, I would say, since we're already halfway through this game. So
I don't know. It's a hard sell. You need to play a Wolf Among Us, okay? And then you need to come talk about it. It's awful. It's awful.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, well, we'll do our best for sure.
So, yeah, does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, could you explain that again?
Such a jerk. Oh, man. You're lucky I'm in a good mood today, Stan. I'm telling you. You caught me on a good day.
I think you can lose tickets if the person you recruit
didn't. What was that?
They should lose tickets if the person they recruit is named Chris.
Yeah, I really
do.
That's for half a ticket.
We need as many Chris as we can fit
Let's
in here.
Try and get anyone who is not named Chris, please.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the reasons we thought about this is because one of the struggles we've had is hitting people online is just people just don't seem to be responding. Yeah. So word of mouth tends to work better with this. So we're just saying, hey, like, look, if you like what we're doing and you know anybody that would be interested in doing it with us, then that will probably go viral more than us being like, hey guys, join us.
Yeah, because I think once people experience it, I think that people will want to stay because most of the people who have actually like attended the chats have pretty much stayed.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, did you have something to say, Mason?
Just that it's a good idea.
Thank you.
Great.
All right. Well, then we'll play 2 hours in. I'll post the exact stopping point if you forget it. I'll post it in the game chat group. And our first week of Wolf Among Us should be the 31st. That is if all goes well with finishing Valiant Hearts on the
20th.
Right. Did I say that right? No, I didn't say that right, did I? The first week of Wolf Among Us probably the June 7th. I think.
That's right.
Jeez. All right. Well, there you go. I'm going to go now. I'm going to embarrass myself for the 10th time.
Poor Chris. Wow.
I know. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Thanks.
See you soon.
Good night.
Everybody, take care. All right.